I don't know what Bhakti Purushottam Swami spoke about or focused on yesterday. What I was told he wanted to speak about was something about each of the 9 islands of Navadvip. I'm sure it was something worth wanting to hear again, the recording, because he speaks very quickly and it's filled with much information. He's a very inspiring speaker. I'd like to focus on the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically the distribution of love of God through the chanting of the holy name. And have that as a take home message to take with you. One time at our GBC meeting, all the GBC members took a whole day just to go to where you went yesterday, to go to Drumdweep, to the place of Bhaktivinod Thakur, and pray to Bhaktivinod Thakur and share with one another the inspirations that we received from him and take out into the world as we go about our GBC duties to propagate Krishna consciousness in this world, stemming from Bhaktivinod Thakur's very, very powerful visionary message. Looking around the room, I see a few brahmacharis and mostly grahastas or grahastas to be. The renounced order of life during the time of particularly Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur, he was himself infinitely, meticulously renounced, and he relied strongly upon his sannyasi disciples to lead the preaching. We know this from many angles, one of them being Srila Prabhupada's own sense of himself as a grahastha. As a grahastha, he expressed to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, your sannyas disciples, they're doing full-time such valuable service for you. And I'm but a grahastha. I want to serve your mission. Please give me some service that I can do for you. And he gave him some service. In the course of fulfilling that service, Srila Prabhupada did accept sannyas. But in the fulfilling of that mission, he started down the path of relying very much on his sannyasis, but he turned and found double strength in his grihastha preachers. When we were at Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, his place, I was thinking, what a dynamic. Jagannath Das Babaji, who was over 120 years old, would go across the Navadvip, from Navadvip across the Ganges to Godrumdvip, to Bhaktivinod Thakur's place, and sit and listen to him speak. Sarvabhuma Jagannath Das Babaji would go and listen to Bhaktivinod Thakur. Gorkishore Das Babaji These are Babaji's. They're beyond the Varna and Ashram configuration. They're beyond the Varnashram system. You saw his bhajan kutir. He stayed by the side of little simple hut next to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to hear him discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam and expand the missionary work of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he himself, Gorkishore Das Babaji, was renunciation personified. What is this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We don't evaluate a Vaishnav by their place of birth or their ashram status or their level of scholarship or education or wealth or any such material consideration. While we abide by the regulations of a particular varna or ashram, the real force behind it is the Krishna consciousness. I mentioned this and I want to expand on it. In our Krishna consciousness movement today, look around to your left and to your right, and what do you see? Or go to a smaller gathering or a larger gathering, and what do you see? Largely householders. There's a role that the renounced devotees have to play in the spreading of Krishna consciousness and the maintaining of the institution that Prabhupada gave and the mission, the reaching out to others that Prabhupada gave. But certainly the grihasthas have a very, very prominent role to play in that mission. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I recommend at some time during your life, each of you, don't wait for somebody to do it for you. Make a careful study of the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his teachings. You will find many instructions specific for householders. How to lead a Krishna conscious household life. And you will find seeds of teachings that when you hear that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's language, you'll then understand where the seed came from in Prabhupada's language. Prabhupada made it appropriate for our time and circumstance and the world today. The seed notion is non different than the message of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which was non different than the message of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, which is non different than the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're getting essences that are very, very powerful from these great acharyas. The whole Krishna consciousness movement, of course, flows from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but then there's a conduit, a channel through which it flows. And the revival of Krishna consciousness movement, the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the wellspring for that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur here in Navadvip Dham. He got an instruction from the Lord to come here and do it. And he wanted to do something else. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. And the Lord wanted him to come to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he changed his plan and he came to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by spiritual strength, he fulfilled that instruction, reestablished the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He, in turn, gave that instruction to his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who carried out the instructions of his father, the Navadvip Parikrama was conducted by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Just as he was conducting Brajmandal Parikrama, he followed the instruction of his father and established many, many places. When we go to Sivarna Vihar, just to give you an idea, I don't like what they did to Sivarna Vihar. It looks like another marble temple. When we first went there, it looked like village Navadvip. It was just a mound in the middle of a forest. Bhaktisiddhanta was going along on a japa walk with his disciples, and he saw the place, and he said, "Find out who owns this land," and just kept walking. So the transcendental acharya said, "Find out who owns the land." So his disciples found out who owns the land. And then Bhaktisiddhanta asked, "See if the man is willing to sell it to us, to the Gaudiya mission." So they went to the landholder and he said, "It's useless land. I'll give you some nice agricultural land. You can grow rice and so many nice things. I'll give it to you." Bhaktisiddhanta didn't want other land. He wanted that piece of land. So he gave it to him. And in establishing a little temple, it was not the big one they had, little temple. They were digging the foundation, and as they were digging the foundation, they found ruins of an ancient palace of King Suvarna Sen. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had the acumen, the spiritual potency, to somehow divinely know this is the place of King Suvarna Sen. There was a legend that guarding this piece of land was a huge, lethal, poisonous serpent that has a jewel on his hood, and anybody that goes there, he sees the serpent and runs out of fear of their life. When the devotees went, they saw that huge serpent, like 12 feet long, with a jewel on his head. He was guarding the place. And when the devotees took charge of the land, he left. They saw him go. When we go there later on, we'll see behind the temple there's some of those, the pillars with the, you know, indented little marks all the way around. There were columns of an old palace. And the mound is, over the years, earth covered that palace. There's very, very ancient, rich history. So you'll hear about Suvarna Sen when we get there. But how does one find the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes? Bhakti Chirumaraj was describing for us in Bhakti Ratnakar. In fact, one Bhagavatam class here in Sridhar Mayapur, he was giving how many meters from Srivas Angam was, from Jagat, the house of Jagannatha Mishra was Srivas Angam. So it's historically recorded. And then how many meters from Srivas Angam was the house of Advaita Acharya? And further inland from the Ganga was the house of Gadadhar Pandit. So based on scriptural authority, but ultimately resting upon the spiritual acumen of himself, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, these great personalities were on a platform of Krishna consciousness that are just astounding. And all of them went to sit at the feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur as he was envisioning a worldwide Sangha of Vaishnavas. From that house where you visited, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this little booklet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. It's an 86-page little book that was printed on an offset press. When, look at where he's living, and he's thinking the world. And he paid for the printing in English language on one of those, like, really awful offset presses where each letter is of a different height and the margin is a different width and the page looks like it's going to fall apart if you sneeze on it. But his vision was so strong. So he sent to universities all over the world. His thinking was, at least the educated people should know who is Lord Chaitanya and what are his teachings. And who is Lord Chaitanya? It's Chaitanya Charitamrita in 43 pages. And what are his precepts? It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Dasam Mula. It's his summarization of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in 10 essential categories. When Prabhupada was preaching in the West, in Montreal, one of the devotees went to the library to see if they had any books on Lord Chaitanya, and they found that book at McGill University, a very respectable university in, it's either Toronto or Montreal. Do you have any Canadians here? Montreal? Montreal. And the devotees brought this to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada paid his obeisances as soon as he saw it, because he knew what it was. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explosion. The Hare Krishna explosion. Send this message all over the world. Like bombs, they would explode. And Prabhupada used that very same metaphor that our temples are like bases and we send our soldiers out to deliver bombs that will explode all over the world. It was very revolutionary. And the inspiration for that came from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose inspiration came from Rupa Goswami, whose inspiration came from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the teachings of the Goswamis was practically lost. Although generations had passed and there really wasn't one of the same caliber as the Goswamis to go and hear from, other than Jagannath Das Babaji. But Jagannath Das Babaji was not engaged in missionary work. But through Jagannath Das Babaji and hearing from him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur became so inspired in the practical activities of the preaching mission. So it would be a great disservice to come to Mayapur, take part in a yatra where we're visiting Mayapur, and not go away with this explosion of these wonderful pastimes of loving exchange with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his loving associates, in that sense going deeply into the message of love of God. Like, what is it? What does it look like? What is that exchange on the transcendental platform between the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees? We get that in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavata, and we're so fortunate we're going to those places during the month of Kartik in the Holy Dham. According to scripture, any devotional service you do during the month of Kartik is amplified thousands of times. And that same devotional service performed in the Holy Dham of Vrindavan is amplified another 1,000 times. And this is non-different than Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the mood of Odharya or munificence or compassion, multiplied thousands of times. I was thinking today, we really have to get excited, have that message grab a hold of us and carry us into the pastimes themselves. The personalities in Gaura Lila are so charming, so pure, so profound, so deep. The love that they had for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just overwhelming. And with that love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what they were able to do with that precious commodity is so powerful. And we're in that place, we're in that sacred place where we're hearing again and again and again in the course of the visit to Sri Mayapur Dham, the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give that gift to everyone, each and everyone. There's a leela that happened just before the leela with Chand Kazi, where, not just before, but it was the morning after this Mahaprakash leela. The Mahaprakash leela is where Lord Chaitanya revealed his divinity to each of the devotees. And that's our evening arti. Gaura Arti, we sing that song. The song is glorifying the kirtans in general and Lord Chaitanya performing that wonderful leela. It went on all night long. And when the morning came, the devotees didn't want it to end. They wanted to keep going the next day. But they had to do their different duties. So Advaita Acharya said, just commented, he just spoke, that this experience of the chanting of the holy name should be shared by one and all. Up to that time, it was all confined to the most qualified persons. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and said, so be it. My Thakur has spoken. Just like that, he knew the next phase of the leela began, of bringing the chanting of the holy name to everyone throughout all of Navadvip. The sannyas leela is taking that from Navadvip, outside of Navadvip, and all over India, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pronouncing that same kirtan should go all over the world. Some time passed, Bhaktivinoda Thakur again took up the vision it should go all over the world. Bhakti Siddhanta again spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement throughout India, sending his best sannyasis to go to England to establish outside of India, and they failed. His otherwise considered an insignificant grihastha, who received the same instruction that many received. It's not that Prabhupada only is the only one that got that instruction. It was a well-known common instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta had. Take this message and deliver it to the English-speaking parts of the world. He had that vision. Where did he get that vision from? Bhaktisiddhanta. Once again, and where did he get it from? Rupa Goswami. From Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada took that message and carried it out. And he relied very strongly upon his grihasthas to carry it out. Now here we are. Many grihasthas. The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, the mission, part of the mission is that we become pure. Because without purity, what is it that we're spreading? We're spreading some disease, giving it a nice name. We need purity. And we've come here to, for that purpose, like the discussion this morning, to go more deeply into the holy name. We want purity. But we want that purity to also expand, to be extended to others. Not at the loss of purity, not to water down purity and become something else. But the explosion of the Hare Krishna movement started with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his vision. I wanted to do two things. I wanted to do what I just did and then give two examples. One is focus a little bit on the life of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. When you were there, did Rukmini Nath speak much about Gaurakishore Das Babaji? So I'd like to speak a little bit. And then we'll go back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and understand Gaurakishore Das Babaji is sitting at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's feet, hearing from him. And we also, I'd like to go speak a little bit about Chandrasekhar Acharya, where we're at Sri Chaitanya Math. We sat at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's samadhi, and over further to the other side, we saw the place where he chanted 1 billion names. Three times 64 rounds every day for 11 years. When he was in the prime of his life, in his early 30s, till he was 45, and then he started preaching. That's Bhaktisiddhanta. That's one dimension of Bhaktisiddhanta. If you go to the other side, at 12, he wrote his first book. When he was just a teenager, he was given the title Saraswati, as in Goddess Saraswati, the title Saraswati, because he wrote another book. He was the most famous astrologer in all of India when he was a teenager. And he left it all behind in favor of the glorious message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How strong was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? And he was at the feet of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And from Bhaktisiddhanta learned from Bhaktivinoda Thakur all about book publishing, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was publishing many books. So he engaged his brilliant son in helping him how to edit, how to publish, how to do the whole thing. Because it's not just you write a book and all of a sudden, boom, Now, today you go to a publisher and the publisher publishes it. But there weren't, that wasn't available. He published it himself. And then saw to its distribution. Just as Prabhupada did the same thing. That's our mission. That's our movement, the Hare Krishna movement. It's a dissemination of this wonderful teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like the Goswamis, the incubation chamber of growing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya through the six Goswamis, and how austere they were, but how vastly learned they were, and how deep in their spiritual realizations they were, and they enshrined all of that in transcendental literature, and Jiva Goswami taught that literature to his principal disciples, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda, Narottam Das Thakur, and then sent them on the mission. Go take these teachings in bullock carts, take the books, and distribute this knowledge throughout all the land. Make the people Krishna conscious. This internal purification, external reaching out and giving transcendental life to the world that's half dead and going crazy. Compassion. Odarya. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was born in a simple family, a grain merchant family in Bangladesh. He was born in the around the early 1830s. He entered marriage. He was married for 20 years. And his wife left this world. So that makes him something around 40 years old. At 40 years old, he left to go to Vrindavan because he was deeply spiritually inclined. In Vrindavan, he met a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji, named Bhagwat Das Babaji, and he took initiation from him. And he stayed most of his life in Vrindavan. Later, at Bhaktivinod Thakur's request, Jagannath Das Babaji came. At Jagannath Das Babaji's request, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji came to Navadweep, to Sridham Mayapur, to the place of the chanting of the holy name as was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in, here in this very merciful dham. When he arrived, when we arrived in Sridham Mayapur, we probably all had some luggage. Even if it was just for some, you know, 9 days stay coming from some other part of India. The luggage of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji fit in one hand. It was a tiger skin cap, a set of mala that was made of cloth, not even of wood, cloth tied in knots so he could use for counting. Because he was so renowned, so he wouldn't even bother with wood, he just used cloth. And prayers by Narottam Das Thakur. That's all he had. And a Babaji Vesh. He kept the Babaji Vesh and he gave the rest to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was just a brahmachari. Tiger skin cap, cloth mala, and prayers of Narottam Das Thakur. When he remained here in Navadweep, he kept no fixed residence, although from time to time he was spotted along the Ganga, sometimes one of the paintings that we made, Prabhupada instructed the devotees to make, they described to me how Prabhupada told them to paint the painting. By the bank of the Ganga, near an old, overturned, discarded boat, he would sit under there because no one would look for him there. He was like a recluse, a hermit, who he could chant without being disturbed. Because when he chanted in some place where people knew where he was, they would come to take his blessings. And taking his blessings meant material blessings, and he wasn't interested in giving people material blessings. He was like with people like that. One time he had an ashram where there was others who were in his association. Keep the door closed. And one very aristocratic, wealthy grihastha couple came to see him. And as they were approaching, they saw the door close. He closed the door and locked the door from the inside. He saw them coming. "Oh, Babaji Maharaj, we've come to do some service." Babaji Maharaj said, "Nobody is here. Go away." "Babaji Maharaj, we can hear your voice, so we know that you're there. We just want to do some service. Just give us some simple, humble service." He said, "Very well. Pass stool right by my door. Make it very smelly, so that no materialists like you will come and disturb my sadhana." Sometimes he would do his chanting. We didn't go by that place, but there's in Navadvip there was a public latrine, an outhouse. And sanitation now isn't good. Imagine what it was then. It was smelly. People would do their business and walk away, and it was smelly. He went inside and chanted his japa. And the people of Navadvip understood he was a great sadhu, and they went to the chief of police and said, "Please do something. We want to make an arrangement so he can have a peaceful place. We'll leave him alone. Peaceful place where he can chant." So the chief of the police went to the latrine. The door closed. "Nobody's here." The residents of Navadvip, they simply want to make a place for you. They know that you're renounced. They'll leave you alone. But some place where you can chant, where it's not so filthy and nasty like here. "I come here because no one will come else will come, and they'll leave me alone. So leave me alone." It was extreme. For a eating vessel, he had a human skull. He would cook and drink from a human skull. He was extreme. He was radical. For his cloth, he would go to the ghat where they would perform the funerals, and where the funeral pyre was, he'd take the discarded cloth and the dead bodies, and that would become his cloth. One time, just to get people to leave him alone, he went and purchased new white cloth and sat on a seat in front of a well-known prostitute's house, waving to everybody as they would go by. So they would think, he's a deceitful person. He's a fraud. We'll leave him alone. He was radical. His eyesight was going bad. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur requested him. At Bhaktivinoda Thakur's request, who he respected, please do something for your eyesight. There's no doctors here that have that skill. My father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, wants me to take you to Calcutta. He said, I will not go to that hell, Calcutta. Leave me alone. And disappeared. You stop pressuring me like this, or I'll give up my life. And he disappeared. For like 30 days, they thought maybe he's given up his life. And he came back, walking along the path of the bank of the Ganga, chanting the holy name. No one said a word about his eyesight. Again. And he lost his eyesight. In his biography, there's many, many, many stories. Extreme renunciation. And yet this extremely renounced person sat at the feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. A Babaji who's been in Vrindavan for some 40, 45 years of his life, simply chanting the holy name, coming here to Navadvip to sit at the feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and hear him describe Krishna Leela, Krishna Katha. How powerful was Bhaktivinoda Thakur? The initiation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was not etiquette that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although spiritually qualified, initiate his own disciple, his own son. So he requested his son to take initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who was very happy. He had full faith in Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And there was a wonderful relationship between the two already. So Bhaktisiddhanta went to Gaurakishore Das Babaji, pleading with him, please accept me as your disciple. Gaurakishore Das Babaji says, I have to consult Mahaprabhu. It wasn't a no. It wasn't a yes. I have to consult Mahaprabhu. Sometime later, Bhaktisiddhanta again approached Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Will you accept me as your disciple? The reply he got was, Mahaprabhu hasn't answered yet. The third time he approached, a famous pastime, a single like rope bridge going over one of the channel tributaries of the Ganga. Bhaktisiddhanta said, what is the use of my life if I can't have shelter of a genuine spiritual master? I'll give up my life if you don't accept me. Gaurakishore was arguing, but you're such a learned person. I'm not at all literate. I don't have a good birth. I don't have anything. You should take initiation from a very qualified person, very scholarly person. You're such a scholarly individual. I can't do this. I'll give up my life. And it wasn't just one of those platitudes. It was something so compelling that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj accepted one disciple in his whole life. And Gaurakishore was so renounced that he said that when I give up my body, it was like a well-known thing, when I give up my body just so that the world can know what a fallen person I am, I want you to take the body, tie it to some bullocks, and drag it through the streets of Navadvip like garbage. So when he left his body, the Babas, they thought this was the will of Gaurakishore Das Babaji and we should do it. They started making arrangements like that. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who was just a brahmachari, said, although you are in this elevated position, I am the only initiated disciple of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and I say you can't do this. He is a saintly person, and this is not the way that one treats a saintly person. And their argument was, this was his will. Who can contradict his will? He said, I can. I am his disciple. And there was a big, you know, Bengali hubbub. One of those. With loud voices. So the police came. Because it was nearly a fight. And when the police came, Bhakti Siddhanta, who was very tall, stood before the police officer and said, Officer, I will accept what any of these men say if one of them can step forward and say, in the last 30 days, last 1 month, they have not had illicit sex with a woman. And he said, well, how will you know if they're telling the truth or not? I will accept it. Very well. Anyone of you saintly men who have not had illicit sex within 30 days, please step forward. Nobody stepped forward. Within the last 2 weeks, within the last 1 week, within the last 3 days, the crowd dispersed. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was given charge of the body of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And another place designated near the Ganga was decided. That place became regularly flooded. And so the place behind where we visited the other day is the Samadhi Mandir of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So although he didn't preach, he had a very important role to play, not only in giving initiation to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but before he left his body, before very close in time, chronology, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gaur Kishore left this world, they both gave Bhakti Siddhanta the same instruction. He who would not go to Calcutta because it was hell, told him to take up this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message and spread it far and wide. Because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was hearing this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Spread the mission of the message of Mahaprabhu far and wide by so many means. And so he took it up on their order. And although he demonstrated, unlike these other Babajis that weren't qualified, he was a brahmachari, but qualified to be beyond varna and ashram. Anyone that can do like he did, 3 times 64 rounds every day for 11 years. That's Babaji. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is a Goshti Anandi movement. A preaching movement. And so he accepted the sannyas order. He placed a picture of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji before him, which we should not imitate the procedure. And he took sannyas from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and preached vigorously for another 30-35 years throughout all of India and envisioned that same message going all around the world. And sent one special soldier, Srila Prabhupada. Empowered many, but Prabhupada carried that empowerment. And here we are today, in that very place that inspired these august members of our disciplic succession. We are a preaching movement. We're a Goshti Anandi movement. We love kirtan. We love the chanting of the holy name. We love solitary chanting. When we chant in the bus, it's not going to be very solitary tomorrow morning. So I should finish so you can get up early and do some chanting before we get on the bus. But it's a dynamic preaching movement. And this is the place of inspiration for that, that our acharyas received. And we're going to a number of places in the course of this yatra where that is amplified. Going to the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates and how much dynamically they received this pure love of God and acted in ways that expanded the flow of mercy of pure love of God through the chanting of the holy name. I didn't, maybe sometime another evening, Chandrasekhar Acharya, it's too late to go into. He played a very important role during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manifest pastimes. Hopefully there'll be some time that we can discuss that. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Yeah.